The reading today is taken from Deuteronomy chapter 30, reading from verses 11 to 20, and this can be found on page 172 of the Pew Bible. The choice of life and death. For this commandment that I command you today is not too hard for you, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that you should say, "Who will ascend to heaven for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it?" Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, "Who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it?" But the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart, so that you can do it. See, I have set before you today the life and good, death and evil. If you obey the commandment of the Lord your God that I command you today, by loving the Lord your God, by walking in his ways, and by keeping his commandments and his statutes and his rules, then you shall live and multiply. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to take possession of it. But if your heart turns away and you will not hear, but are drawn away to worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not live long in the land that you are going over the Jordan to enter and possess. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life, that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, and holding fast to him. For he is your life and length of days, that you may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. Thanks be to God for this reading from his holy word.
Let's share our prayer together. Heavenly Father, we humbly bow in your presence. May your word be our rule, your spirit our teacher, and your great glory our supreme concern. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Deuteronomy is a book with a purpose. The purpose of the book is not to inform us, although there is information we can glean as we read through its pages. The purpose of the book is not to entertain us or to help us pass the time. The purpose of this great book, the reason why God speaks these words to us, is to set before us all a choice. Yes, a choice for the people listening to Moses gathered on the plains of Moab. Yes, a choice for our mothers and fathers and all who have gone before us and read these words. But more importantly, for us today, this day, a choice for us, a choice which we must make. Therefore, choose life. We all know about choices. You can choose the easy way or the hard way. Really, if it's put as bluntly as that, who's going to go for the hard way? But we make choices every day. Every time we open our mouths, we are faced with the choice: will we speak kind words which are helpful and will build others up? Or will we speak destructive words, angry words, self-important words? We have a choice. We have a choice about what to do with our time. Will we use our time to bless others or pursue our own selfish ambitions? Gordon was speaking earlier about Samuel. Samuel's mum, Hannah, had a choice. She chose to pray for a child. She chose to dedicate her child to the service of the Lord. She chose to keep her promise. All the way through, Hannah could have made a different choice. Our lives are filled with choices. And once we have chosen, our lives are filled with the consequences of those choices. And so this is the purpose of the book of Deuteronomy, to set before you, each one of you, a choice. This passage, the verses Brenda read earlier for us, are the climax of this book. This is where all of these words come into very sharp focus. Moses tells the people, I have set before you today a choice. Therefore, choose life. Sometimes, talking with folk, they speak of not having had a choice, of feeling trapped. They might have been clever enough to go up to university, but family finances didn't allow them that choice. How many women in the 1920s and 1930s would have dearly loved to choose to be married? But the young man they loved had died on a field in France or Belgium. I didn't have a choice. Circumstances took away my choice. And so when the Lord invites you, therefore choose life, it's important that we know that we have a real choice. We really do have a choice, and you are able to choose. That first paragraph, verses 11 to 14 in our reading today, encourages us to submit to the Lord's command. That command, which is explained in verse 15 as the command to choose. But look again at verse 14. The word is very near you. It is in your mouth. It is in your heart, so that you can do it. These words, this verse, are for you and for us all a promise, an assurance from the Lord. His invitation to choose is near us, in our hands, in our mouths. We can do it. God assures us of that. The invitation God gives you to choose life is not far from you. You don't need to walk on the hard way to find it. The word of God's love and grace has come looking for you. The word of God's love and grace became flesh. And in Jesus is God with you. When Peter saw Jesus walking on the water, remember? And doesn't that sound like the hard way? Peter called out to the Lord, command me to come to you. And Jesus said, come. We hear our Lord commanding us to choose life. And we say, Lord, help me to choose. And he says, you are free to choose. You are able to choose. Go right ahead and choose. There is a way of thinking about life and faith which is no place for choice. But that's not our way. That's not the Bible's way. How can it be? If God did not want you to choose, he would not invite you to choose. If everything was determined beforehand, what does it mean when God says through Moses, therefore, choose life? God doesn't want a whole lot of Stepford disciples, robots who look like real people but who are pre-programmed and so never make a choice. Love, which is at the heart of relationship and covenant, is all about choice. How can you love the Lord your God if you cannot choose him? How can you enter into a covenant relationship with the Lord your God if you can't choose to enter? You can choose. Today, hearing these words of gracious invitation, you must choose. Therefore, choose life. What then is the choice which our loving God sets before us. There it is in verse 15. See, I have set before you today life and good, or death and evil. Therefore choose life. If you choose the barren land, if you choose the waterless wastes, you're choosing to die. There is no life in a lifeless desert. But if you choose the green pastures, if you choose the gently flowing waters, you are choosing to live. If you choose God, you are choosing life. If you choose anyone or anything other than God, you are choosing death. Why would anyone choose to have surgery? Why would anyone choose, let's say, to have heart surgery? Surely the only reason we would make such a choice is if a doctor who we trust and respect sits with us and says, look, if you don't have this operation, you will definitely die. And if the choice is between life and death, we will choose life. We will choose that operation. Earlier in Deuteronomy 30, and the Lord your God will circumcise your heart, the heart of your offsprings, so that you will love the Lord your God with your heart and your soul and you may live. Choosing God is choosing for God to do heart surgery on us. Choosing God is choosing that life-giving work of God in us by which he changes us. Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. I will raise him up on the last day. Why would you choose to eat bread and drink wine? Only because this choosing is choosing Jesus. This is choosing life. And apart from this choice, you will surely die. The choice set before us today is not like choosing the color of your new car or the size of your new sofa or which TV program to watch. The choice really is life or death. That's what the choice is. Will you choose to die? Or will you choose to live? No one else can choose for you. You must choose. Therefore, choose life. What does it mean for us to choose life? In verse 20, at the end of the passage, there are three verbs there which explain to us how we choose life. Therefore, choose life, that you and your offspring may live. Loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, holding fast to him. Choosing life is choosing to love God. Love is a choice. Love is a commitment, an act of the will. We choose to love. Loving God is living in relationship with God. The largest part of this book of Deuteronomy has been setting out the details of this new relationship between God and us, establishing God's new relationship of grace and mercy. Life is living within that relationship. Loving God is living within that new relationship as we grow together with God. I wonder if you've ever noticed in the story of Abraham, it's right at the end of the story, one of the last things that happens to Abraham. God says, now I know that you love me. After years of living together, after years of growing in relationship with God, Abraham hears these words, now I know you love me. It's not a feeling. It's not something he thinks about sitting at home. It's something he's demonstrated in the way he's chosen to live in relationship with God. What about Peter? On that resurrection breakfast, Jesus asked him, do you love me? And Peter said, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." And three times Jesus said, "Okay, then feed my sheep. Tend my lambs. Feed my sheep." Jesus didn't say, "That's good, Peter. You've got a nice warm feeling in your heart towards me. That's what love is." Jesus said, "You love me? Do something about it. Live a life that displays your love for me. Work it out in a life of service. Choose life. Love the Lord your God. Choose a commitment to God. Devote yourself to him. Love him. And you have already chosen life." Choosing life is choosing to obey the voice of the Lord your God. Samuel chose life. He heard the Lord speaking to him and he said, "Speak, Lord, your servant hears." How can we obey his voice if we don't hear him speaking? How can we choose life if we choose not to listen to God? Are you choosing to hear God speaking to you? Are you reading your Bible day by day? Are you choosing to come along to one of our small groups to hear God speak in his word? If you won't listen to God, then you can't hear his voice. If you don't hear his voice, you can't choose life. Because choosing life is obeying God's voice. What do you hear when you hear God's voice? These words of grace. God invites you into a covenant with himself. God offers you life in Jesus. You hear words of service. God calls you to live for others, to be a blessing to your neighbor, your family, your city, to the stranger. It is the voice of God which invites you to live. If you obey his voice, you are choosing life. It is only his voice which can offer life. Choosing life is holding fast to the Lord your God. Holding fast as though there were nothing else to hold on to, which is exactly true. There is no one else to hold on to. Oh, there are many other options, but none of them work. Some try holding on to false gods, to other religions, but they're not gods. Some fill their days with activity, with work and hobbies, but there's nothing to hold on to here. Nothing which will keep your life safe. When Peter began to sink in the waves, it was the outstretched hand of Jesus which he held on to. Holding on to Jesus alone kept him safe. There are no other baskets. You need to put all your eggs in this one. There are no other gods. There is only this God. There is no other hope, only this hope. There is no other offer of life than that you choose this life. And you choose it by holding fast to God, by grasping his outstretched hand, that he might keep hold of you. Choose life. Love God, obey God, hold on to God. Choose life. Choose life today. God had a choice. God chose to love you. God so loved the world that he chose to give his one-of-a-kind son, that whoever believes in him will not die but will live the life of God's kingdom. God has already chosen to love you. Jesus had a choice. We heard him pray about his choice. "Father, if it's possible, let this cup be taken away from me." But in the end, he chose love. Love for you. Jesus chose to love you. You have already made a choice this morning. You chose to come here, to gather for worship, to sit under the sound of God's voice. This table represents another choice. We can choose to eat and drink, to receive Jesus and his love through the cross and the resurrection. In this table, we can choose life. You can choose. God invites you to choose because he longs for you to choose life, to choose Jesus. Jesus died so that you might be able to choose life. Today is the day for you. The day for you to choose life. You might be choosing life in Jesus for the first time. You might be re-choosing life, having chosen many years ago. But you could choose again today. Therefore, choose life. Choose God. Choose Jesus. Choose his love for you. Let's pray together. Father, humble us before your choosing us. Fill our hearts with amazement and wonder at the extent of your love for us. Fill us with your Spirit that we might choose life. Set our hearts on fire with love for you. Work in our hands and our feet that we might obey you. Take hold of us, that we might take hold of you, that we might choose life. In Jesus' name, amen.